Today, trick or treat? The markets are confused. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, this is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, covering commodities and crypto along the way. And yes, folks, this is a dense, data-rich show, so be warned. On Friday, global stocks slipped, finishing the week lower amid US election jitters, while oil prices rose due to concerns about fighting in the Middle East. In fact, Israel hit back with further, if somewhat restrained, strikes on military targets in Iran overnight. So that may change sentiment next week. We'll see. Republican former President Donald Trump and Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris are polling neck and neck in crucial swing states ahead of the November 5th election. Investors are anxious about a contested result, roiling world markets and unleashing fresh geopolitical uncertainty. But a rally in stocks faded as banks dragged down the broader market, despite gains in tech shares, and Bitcoin slumped after a news report that federal investigators are probing cryptocurrency firm Tether. As the earnings season rolls on, traders also braced for the US presidential election and key economic data, including next week's jobs report, for clues on the scope of Federal Reserve rate cuts. We're coming up to a couple of pivotal weeks, which could well shape the markets for, well, months ahead. The S&P 500 saw its first down week since early September, but is still up about 22% across the year. Remember, equities remain at elevated valuations, which could mean stocks are vulnerable should any near-term market events fall short of expectations. The S&P 500's price-to-earnings ratio, based on earnings estimates for the next 12 months, stands at 21.8. That's near the highest level in over 3 years. The Nasdaq added 0.56% on Friday, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.6%. The KBW Bank Index dropped 1.4%, while a gauge of the Magnificent 7 megacaps notched its best back-to-back jump since February, up 1.3%. And the Russell small caps continued to drift lower, down 3% across the week. Tesla, the first of the Magnificent 7 to report, said on Wednesday that it expected to achieve slight growth in vehicle deliveries this year and reported a higher-than-expected third-quarter profit margin. Its shares rose around 22% across the week, following earlier falls on the earlier week product launch. Nvidia dethroned Apple as the world's most valuable company on Friday, following a record-setting rally in the stock, powered by insatiable demand for its specialized artificial intelligence chips. Nvidia's stock market value briefly touched $3.53 trillion. That's slightly above Apple's $3.52 trillion. Nvidia ended the day up 0.8% with a market value of $3.47 trillion, while Apple's shares rose 0.4%, valuing the iPhone maker at $3.52 trillion. In June, Nvidia briefly became the world's most valuable company, before it was overtaken by Microsoft and Apple. The tech trio's market capitalization had been neck and neck for several months. Microsoft's market valuation stood at $3.18 trillion, with its stock up 0.8%. Five of the Mag 7 report earnings next week, with Alphabet, Meta, and Amazon poised for double-digit earnings growth, fueled by ad spending. Apple could get a fill-up from Chinese sales of its latest iPhones, while Microsoft may use its earnings call to address concerns that it's lagging rivals on AI. AI hyperscalers Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and Meta are set to increase capital expenditures by around 40% this year, while such capex spending for the rest of the S&P 500 companies is on pace to fall about 1% across 2024. That's according to Bank of America Global Research. Tech behemoths have driven the bulk of the equity market advance this year, but they trailed the last quarter as the Fed cut interest rates for the first time since 2020, supporting sectors like financial and utilities. Because of their massive market values, those companies jointly account for 23% of the weight of the S&P 500, meaning market reaction to their results could sway broader indices in coming days. A combined 75% expect the Magnificent Seven to either beat or perform in line with the rest of the market this quarter. Perhaps one reason why investors remain bullish is that the bulk of the S&P 500 earnings growth will still come from big tech. One event that tech stock watchers will be focusing in on is Nvidia's earnings to be released in November. The company's last report drove the chip maker's shares down in the following days. From a fundamental standpoint, sales growth for the big three, Nvidia, Microsoft, and Apple, are expected to lag the rest of the tech sector, but then seem to be accelerating through the end of 2025. While most of this year's S&P 500 record high occurred during low VIX index readings, all-time highs set in recent weeks have been accompanied by wider price swings. Risk assets remain in the throes of a powerful year-end rally, consistent with our 6,200 S&P 500 target. That's according to Rich Ross at Evercore. The gauge closed around 5,808 on Friday. The VIX, however, rose more than 12% across the week to 20.33. That's another sign that months of near-historic calm are indeed under threat. Investors should expect market volatility in the lead-up to the US presidential election, analysts at UBS Global Wealth Management said in a note on Thursday, as November the 5th inches closer, the market sentiment is likely to stay vulnerable. The severity of this week's back and forth suggests even greater volatility in the coming weeks, when the US bond market must weather a myriad of events, from key jobs data to the US election to a meeting by the Fed. Recent data revealed a significant drop in US unemployment claims in late October, underscoring the labor market's resilience, while an uptick in the S&P Purchasing Managers Index, the PMI, pointed to robust private sector growth. University of Michigan October sentiment data showed US consumers increasingly confident in October. It's up 6 months highs, actually, as households are more upbeat about buying conditions. They expect prices to climb to an annual rate of 2.7% over the next year, unchanged from the prior month, and they see costs rising 3% on average over the next 5 to 10 years, down from 3.1% in the prior month. October's job report will likely register the first negative payroll print in about 4 years, but if the report proves surprisingly strong in all dimensions, it could add to murmurs of a Fed pause as early as December. Even so, a near-term pivot could provide some difficulty given inflation progress and the consensus Fed view that policy rates are still restrictive, though just how restrictive they are is an open question. Over at the Fed, Mary Daly said that she hadn't seen any information that would suggest that they shouldn't continue cutting rates, but other members, including Neil Kashari, said that the rate cuts should continue at a moderate speed. Traders are pricing in the nearly 95% odds of a 25 basis point cut at the Fed's November meeting, but there is mounting speculation that the Fed could make a pause in its loosening policy in December. The yield on benchmark US 10-year notes rose to 4.232%, while the 2-year rose to 4.107%. There has been rising nervousness about these price pressures. Gauges of inflation expectations derived from inflation-protected treasuries, so-called 5-year break-even rates, jumped to 2.3% on the week. That's the highest level since June. To bears eyeing the ever-expanding economy and its implications for central bank policy, it all rings of complacency, especially if Jerome Powell's Federal Reserve is forced to halt or slow monetary easing to keep price pressures at bay. Among investors at large, however, the week was another show of fortitude in a year when almost $10 trillion of fresh shareholder wealth has been created. But virtually every market has seen a significant uptick in hedging, as indicated by big gaps between implied and realized volatility in the Treasury and equity markets. Rising rates are also a factor for those worried about stretched valuations in the equity market. An indicator loosely known as the Fed model, which plots relative income levels in stocks and bonds respectively, shows equities are so richly priced as any time since 2002. With government bonds selling off, the 10-year Treasury yield rose about half a point above the so-called earnings yield of the S&P 500. The dollar advanced, with the dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, was up 0.24% to 104.30. That was the fourth weekly gain against the Japanese yen, as an uncertain backdrop for markets sent the yen near three-month lows ahead of an election in Japan over the weekend. The dollar strengthened 0.26% against the yen to 152.22. Brent crude futures settled up 2.25% to $76.05 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude settled up 2.27% to $71.78. Both crude futures finished the week up about 4%. Gold prices rose in choppy trading after retreating earlier in the week from record highs. Prices had hit an all-time high on Wednesday before wobbling lower and then wobbling higher again. The strength of the US dollar and rising treasury yields damaged the metal's safe haven appeal. Silver, by the way, was up 40% from the start of the week, ahead of gold's 32%. Canadian stocks were low on Friday, with the close in Toronto showing that the S&P TSX Composite down 0.36%, and the VIX, which measures the implied volatility of the TSX options, was down 0.63% to 1104. The loonie hit the lowest levels against the US dollar since the beginning of August, after the Bank of Canada delivered a 50 basis point cut to 3.75% this week. And they also say that further cuts are possible if the economy evolves in line with expectations, with the market seeing a 25% chance of another 50 basis point cut in December. Canadians can breathe a sigh of relief. It's a good news story, Governor Tiff Macklem said during a press conference after the rate announcement. It's been a long fight against inflation, but it's worked, and we're coming out the other side. Despite three previous cuts totaling 75 basis points, demand has been muted, sales at businesses are sluggish, and consumer sentiment is tepid, hurting economic growth. Today's interest rate decision should contribute to a pickup in demand, Macklem said, adding that the Bank of Canada would like to see growth strengthen. Over in Europe, a survey on Friday of German business sentiment showed confidence improving more than expected this month, snapping four straight months of declines and offering hopes for some respite towards the end of the year in the economy's battle with industrial woes and soft global demand. The European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde said that the Eurozone inflation was well on track to hit the Eurozone's target 2% next year, reiterating the bank's most recent guidance after last week's rate cut. The Euro-US dollar sold off to 1.0793 yesterday as the rate cut bets in the Eurozone remained strong on the back of inflation that seems almost under control and weak economic and corporate data. The euro is witnessing one of its worst runs ever, actually. Many European Central Bank members sound increasingly dovish. Olli Rehn, for example, said that the zone's dire economy may bolster disinflationary pressures. And Bank of France's François Villeroy called for more agility with future rate cuts to avoid acting too slowly. And Mario Centeno said that the ECB should consider ramping up monetary easing if the data backs more moves. The growing divergence between the Fed and the ECB outlooks should continue to support a deeper sell-off in the euro-US dollar. The prospect of US rates not falling as quickly as anticipated have boosted the dollar, while expectations for Republican Donald Trump to win the November election are hitting the euro, given the risk of a sharp rise in US tariffs on European goods. In equities, the European stocks remained under pressure. The rising dovish voices at the ECB are favourable, but the earnings season is not going well for the European companies. ASML, for example, announced weak results, and Deutsche Bank warned against rising bad debts due to the morose economic environment and announced that it would set aside more money than expected, while the European car and luxury goods makers are under the pressure of weaker demand at home and in China. Europe's main stock index closed Friday's choppy session flat and notched weekly losses as a handful of weak corporate earnings from auto-related companies such as Mercedes-Benz and Valeo and appliance maker Electrolux dented investor sentiment. The pan-European Stock 600 closed flat for the second straight day and logged its first weekly loss in three, with real estate stocks among the worst hit sectors for the week. Symphony added 2.5% and topped the French CAC 40 index after the drug maker posted stronger earnings growth than analysts had expected in the third quarter, boosted by an early anticipated start to the vaccination season. At the close, the DAX added 0.02%, and the DAX volatility index, which measures the implied volatility of the DAX, was up 1.62% to 1752. In Britain, cable slipped below the 100 DMA and remains under a selling pressure, as the Bank of England Governor Bailey said that inflation in Britain is weakening faster than they anticipated. Britain's new Labour government unveils its first budget next week on Wednesday, with few choices available to Finance Minister Rachel Reeves as she balances high debt, public spending pledges, and a promise not to hike income tax. Markets fear extra borrowing and tax grabs on capital gains, dividends, and inherited wealth. The 10-year gilt was up 4.39% across the week, dragged up in part by rising US Treasury yields, even after soft inflation fueled hopes for UK rate cuts, while the expectation of changed fiscal rules haunts the market. UK consumer confidence slipped by 1 point to minus 21 in October, taking the score back down to a level last seen in March this year. That's according to GfK's closely watched barometer. Gripped by budget uncertainty, UK stocks are underperforming once again after a promising pre-election rally for those long-term laggards. The FTSE slid 0.25% on Friday, with Mondi PLC up 2.25%, Anglo American PLC up 1.84%, and Rio Tinto up 1.77%. British lender NatWest climbed 3.8% after raising its income forecast for 2024, although the worst performer of the session was Lloyds Bank, which fell 7.3%. NatWest reported a 26% rise in third quarter profit and raised its income forecast for 2024 as it grew lending and deposits while sustaining margins despite an uncertain UK economic outlook. The stronger expected results from NatWest on Friday capped a stellar run of earnings by most British banks for this week, showing them maintaining recent robust revenue levels despite policy interest rate cuts that should eat into loan margins. Analysts said that the bank also managed to stem deposit outflows, a trend that seemed among lenders in recent quarters as savers looked for higher returning products, in turn squeezing bank margins. Most Asian stocks were range-bound on Friday amid a dearth of immediate trading cues, while Japanese shares sank in anticipation of the hotly contested general election, which is set to take place this weekend. Sentiment towards Japan was also rattled by repeated warnings on potential currency market intervention by the government as the yen neared three-month lows. Soft inflation data pressured the yen on Friday further. When the new Japanese premier called a snap election just weeks ago, he had expected to consolidate his party's hold on power, but his Liberal Democratic Party could lose its absolute majority after Sunday's election and fall short of enough seats to govern when combined, such that they would need to take on an additional coalition partner, which would force him to shelve some market-unfriendly policies that he's favoured, such as higher corporate and capital gains taxes. The Bank of Japan is scheduled to meet next week and is expected to maintain ultra-low interest rates and probably signal a less dovish policy outlook due to receding fears of US recession and the need to keep speculators from pushing down the yen too much. Another potential complication for the Bank of Japan was data that showed core inflation in Japan's capital city in October dipped below the central bank's 2% target for the first time in 5 months. The Nikkei 225 slid 1.1% to a three-week low, while the Topix lost 0.8% as investors turned wary of Japanese markets before the general election on Sunday. Japanese indices were also the worst performers in Asia this week, losing around 3% each. Broader Asian markets kept in a tight range on Friday as uncertainty over the US presidential election and interest rates kept sentiment subdued. Most regional markets had weekly declines. That said, China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite Indices rose slightly after the People's Bank left its one-year policy rate unchanged. Both indices were down around 1% across the week, though. A meeting of China's National People's Congress, which was set to offer more clues on fiscal stimulus, appears to be delayed to November, and draft laws and amendments to be discussed at that meeting will cover mineral resources, energy, anti-money laundering measures, maritime issues, and other areas. But there was no mention of measures that Finance Minister Lan Fan flagged up earlier this month when he said China would significantly increase government debt and support consumers and the property sector. So investors have been disappointed by a lack of detail on size and timing of any such fresh fiscal stimulus. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was the best performer actually for the day, rising about 1%, although it was set for a third straight weekly loss. South Korea's economy is likely to be weaker than the central bank's latest forecast of 2.4%. That's according to a Bank of Korea official on a briefing on Thursday. The KOSPI was lower across the week. Indian stocks were lower on Friday as losses in the oil and gas and consumer durables sectors led shares lower. At the close, the Nifty 50 lost 0.9% to hit a new one-month low. The Indian VIX, which measures the implied volatility of the Nifty 50, was up 4.08% to 1454. In Australia, a rebound in the ASX software giant WiseTech almost single-handedly helped the Australian share market eke out a modest gain in the final session of the week. The ASX 200 rose 5 points or 0.1% to 8,211. And that's the third session of subdued trading following a 1.7% sell-off on Tuesday. The index fell 0.9% across those 5 days. Tech stocks were driven by a 12.7% rally to $112 by WiseTech as brokers scrambled to upgrade their recommendations following the resignation of CEO and founder Richard White, who will return to the business as a consultant. Consumer staples were dragged down by the supermarket giants, with Woolworths down 1.6% to $30.69, and Coles dropped 1% to $18.16. Lithium mine and mineral resources tumbled 5% to $34.12 after the Australian Financial Review reported two of its board members, including founder and managing director Chris Ellison, purchased mining equipment from the company at discounts to market rates. Major investor Australian Super revealed that it had reduced its stake in MinRes. Gold miner Newmont was the index's biggest laggard, down 11.6% to $70.74 after its earnings revealed the gold producer is struggling under rising costs. That despite posting the chunkiest quarterly profit in 5 years. HMC Capital rose 12.5% to $10.36 after raising $300 million to help fund its near $2 billion purchase of Sydney data center developer Global Switch Australia. And ResMed added 5.9% to $37.73, following increased revenue in the first quarter of fiscal 25, driven by higher demand for its sleep devices and masks. RGA's supermarket supplier Metcash dropped 3.3% to $3.19 after flagging additional cost-cutting measures in response to weak trading in its hardware unit. Qantas added 1.5% to $8.03 as demand for travel remained stable in the first half of fiscal 25 and its Jetstar business outperformed. And finally, Bitcoin was volatile through the week as $5.26 billion worth in Bitcoin and Ethereum options expired, plus news on Tether pulling one way, while the Pennsylvania House of Representatives approving a pro-crypto regulatory bill aimed at protecting self-custody and digital asset payments pulled the other. The bill must still pass through the Pennsylvania state and receive Governor Josh Shapiro's signature to become law. Drafted by Satoshi Action Fund, a Bitcoin advocacy organization in Washington, D.C. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Head of EMFX Research West and Crypto Research at Standard Chartered, Jeff Kendrick, predicts Bitcoin could reach $125,000 by the end of the year if Republicans take control of the Congress after the 5th of November elections. Kendrick expects Bitcoin to hit around $73,000 by election day, with a Trump victory potentially pushing the price up 4% initially, followed by a further 10% rise. But if Vice President Kamala Harris wins, Bitcoin may temporarily dip, but then is expected to close the year around $75,000. But in the next couple of weeks, it's clear that there will be an agenda set for the next several months, with markets clearly confused, still supported by big tech optimism, significant overvaluations, and market and geopolitical risk. It will be a wobbly ride for sure, and I think the outcome is far from certain. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.